As I mentioned at the beginning, it is a great joy to finally arrive at this time. I'm grateful for your patience as we had to postpone things, many unanswered questions at the time that First Communion was supposed to happen, but none of that takes away from the joy of this moment, from the excitement that comes from now being able to receive this great gift from God. It is a joy as well that we are able to celebrate it as part of our regular masses, because sometimes other members of the parish don't get to see First Communion happening because we have a large group that normally would do it all together. But seeing these kids as they receive their First Communion is something powerful for all of us, because it taps into something deep in us. It reminds us of all that is good and beautiful. Now, of course, it taps into that deep place in us where God is. It's the reason that it moves us. Because there in that place is where God, the source of all beauty and goodness, is. And so when we see something as so obviously good and beautiful, we experience joy. This is why throughout the Gospels, Jesus holds up children as examples for us, saying to us, look at them, follow their example, love like them. And so we who have been involved in preparing children for First Communion have been teaching, but it's just as important that we learn from them, that we pay attention to that openness and love for God that they have, so that they can be examples that draw you, their parents and teachers and all of us, into a deeper appreciation of this gift from God. Now you kids, you have been preparing for a long time for this. You've gone through all kinds of religion classes and learned about the different things that are part of First Communion. Back at the beginning of this time, you heard probably many times from Bishop Malone telling you, this is the best year of your life. And so he highlights just what this gift means. And so now, this best year of your life can come to its completion as Jesus feeds you with Himself. Now, what you have learned about this day is a good reminder for all of us. It's this amazing belief that we hold, this belief that bread and wine on this altar will be changed into the very body and blood of Christ. Something that as Catholics we have heard so many times that we might lose sight of just how extraordinary a gift this really is. Part of what you can answer after your preparation is to be able to explain what is the Eucharist, something that all of us Catholics should be ready with an answer for. But as I was reflecting on this day, it strikes me that we shouldn't really ask, what is the Eucharist, but who is the Eucharist? This isn't something that we receive, something that we prepare for. It is someone, the God who gives us life and promises that not only will He sustain our life from His place in heaven, but that He wants to become our food, to become closer to us in the literal way of food being digested into our lives, closer than any other experience that we might have. And so, this is Jesus that we receive. This Jesus, who we read about in John chapter 6, challenged the crowds of His day by teaching that they would eat His flesh and drink His blood. So challenging that if you read to the end of John chapter 6, many people couldn't accept it. And when many of His followers walked away from Him because this challenging teaching was too much, He turned to the apostles and He said, "What about you?" And they responded with faith, saying, "Lord, we have come to believe in You. We trust You." And so this is probably the most important question to ask on this day of First Communion. The same question Jesus put to the apostles, He puts to each one of us here today. What about you? I will give you my flesh to eat and my blood to drink. This teaching is hard. What about you? And so we pray for the gift of faith to accept it. Now this teaching is why we have the Mass. It's why it has been painful for the period of time that public Mass was suspended, because even though we can participate to a large degree watching it from home, it is that moment of being fed that marks our lives as Catholics. Now, one of the questions that the kids had to learn in preparation for this day was about the Mass, and so they learned the different parts of the Mass. But one of the questions is, when was the first Mass? And Catholics should be ready with the answer. The Last Supper was the first Mass. The Last Supper was the time when Jesus took bread and wine and said, "Do this in memory of me." It's why the priest says those same words that Jesus said at the Last Supper. That first Mass was such a crucial moment for us. But here's another question. A question for all of us that maybe you haven't thought about before. When was the second Mass? That's a harder question. We don't really know the answer to that question exactly. Theologians have speculated about different parts of that. The story of Jesus with the disciples going to Emmaus has the word and food, the breaking of bread. But the real Mass, where it was the apostles who did what Jesus commanded and said, "Do this in memory of me," when was that? And while I do not know the exact answer, I bring it up today not only because it's an interesting question, but because the answer depends on the celebration of Pentecost that we have today. The Pentecost is what made the celebration of Mass part of the Church, made it possible. There would be no Mass, there would be no Church, if not for Pentecost. Jesus, in all of His preaching, He taught the Church. He explained to His disciples about sacraments. He set up the framework for what they would do. But that framework was empty and lifeless until the Spirit came. It was on the day of Pentecost when the room began to shake, and as the Spirit, as in tongues of fire, descended upon each of them, and they burst out of that room, now powered by the Holy Spirit, to carry out the work of the Church. It is life and power in the Church that depends on the Spirit. We talk about Pentecost as the birthday of the Church. We could talk about Pentecost as well as the ordination day of the apostles. It was that day that they could take the words of Jesus, "Do this in memory of me," and actually do it. It was only when they received the Spirit that those words out of their mouth could be more than words. It is the Holy Spirit that gives life to those words so that bread and wine become body and blood. And this is still true today. This is what today's Mass depends on. This is what your First Communion depends on. Because in just a moment, I will say those words, "This is my body, this is my blood, do this in memory of me." But what makes those more than just my words is the power of the Spirit that I received on the day of my ordination. The day in which God said, "The work of the Church will happen through you." That I will give life to those words to feed your people. And so Jesus asks, "Do you believe this? Do you believe that the Spirit can make what seems impossible, possible? That this bread that He gives is His flesh for the life of the world, for your life, So that in just a moment, as these words are spoken, the Spirit that filled that upper room on the day of Pentecost fills this church. Probably not with thunder and flames, but with no less power. Power to make Jesus present in this extraordinary way. It's no wonder that people struggle with this. The human brain can't fully process it. But the Spirit of Pentecost not only gives power to my words and changes the physical bread and wine to His body and blood, that same Spirit is what can give you faith. Faith to accept what seems impossible because God is behind it. As a priest, I can't turn bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus without the Holy Spirit. As a believer, I can't believe any of this without the Holy Spirit. The long history of faith we have gives us reason to believe, but it is the Spirit we receive that allows us to actually believe in faith. And so this is my prayer for all of you today, you children, to be filled with that Spirit that helps you believe what happens. You parents and families and all of our parish, that same Spirit of faith to respond like the apostles, "Yes, Lord, we have come to believe in You," so that we are open for the gift that God gives, for His flesh that becomes our life.